Good morning, everyone. Today I'm going to be speaking to you about forgiveness. And your heart may be good with forgiveness and how you're dealing with it. But it would be my prayer that you will feel blessed by this message. And if you know a friend or a family member who may be searching for forgiveness for themselves or for another person, maybe you can share these verses and these stories with them. So I'm going to start by sharing Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. In these verses, Paul is teaching about a lifestyle exalting Jesus. He is encouraging the characteristics of Christ in the hope of putting off sins of the flesh. Bear with each other in Greek means to hold in, stop, restrain. We need to have patience with others' weaknesses. In my classroom, I used to teach children to be careful when they were pointing their finger at he did it or she took it, because you have three fingers pointing back to you when you are pointing at others. We all make mistakes and no one is perfect. We are able to forgive because we are forgiven, and as Christians, we are trying to live like Christ. Even when our hearts are hurt, find a way to act and speak of grace for the person who has hurt you. Another classroom example is that I would encourage the notion of saying, "I forgive you," when someone says, "I'm sorry." I know it would be nice if we didn't ever need to say, "I'm sorry." We are not perfect by any means, and our world is not perfect either. Learning how to say, "I am sorry," and "I forgive you," is important for our relationship with others and with God. And truly, a sense of mercy is felt when one hears those words out loud, "I forgive you." Unforgiveness towards someone, or even toward ourselves, can be all-consuming and controlling of our minds. The only thing that grows is anxiety and resentment. Do not let unforgiveness win. I heard this story on the radio this week. Judge Esther Salas shared in a news interview about her forgiving the man who had shot her son and her husband at their front door. The man had dressed like a delivery postman and came there with the intent to kill. Judge Salas's husband survived, but their son had passed away. Their son had been the love of their lives from the moment he was born. She has worked hard to forgive the shooter, and she states, "Hate is heavy, love is lighter." This man took the most important thing in my life, she says, and I can't let him take anything else. I'm going to strive every moment to be the best person I can be, remembering love is lighter. Pray that God will help you to let go of where you've been wronged, even when it's hard. Choose to forgive. You're probably all aware of Corrie Ten Boom's story. She, along with her sister and father, were sent to Ravensbrück, a Nazi concentration camp. They had been found out they were hiding Jewish people in their home. Corrie's sister and father died while at the camp, but due to a clerical error, Corrie was released, and the kingdom of God is better off for it. She shares that unforgiveness is a sin, and that sin will destroy not the person you're refusing to forgive, it will destroy you. After the war, she returned to Germany to declare the grace of Christ. And I'm reading from the book called Holocaust Victim Forgives Captor. It was in 1947, and I came from Holland to defeated Germany with a message that God forgives. It was the truth that they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind. I like to think that's where forgiven sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God cast them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. And even though I cannot find scripture for it, I believe God then places a sign out there that says, no fishing allowed. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, and the next I saw a blue uniform and a cap with skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room with the harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath her skin. Betsy, how thin you were. That place was Ravensbrook, and the man who was making his way forward had been a guard, one of the most cruel guards. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know, as you say, all of our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I had spoken so glibly of forgiveness fumbled in my pocketbook rather than to take his hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women that day? But I remembered him, and I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrook in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me, but since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian, and I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein. Again, his hand came out to shake mine. Will you forgive me? And I stood there, I whose sins had again and again and again been forgiven and could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her terrible slow death simply by asking? It could have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out. But to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had the opportunity to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I silently prayed. Jesus, help me. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly and mechanically, I thrust my hand into one outreach stretched. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. A current started at my shoulder and raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing me to tears. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, a former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intently as I did then. And even then, I realized it was not my love. I had tried, and I did not have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Know that His grace and forgiveness covers all. Be determined to walk in love. Know that God has chosen you, and you are someone special in His plan. It is my prayer that the spirit of this congregation is not one of unforgiveness, but the spirit of this congregation is filled with the grace that overflows to everyone. Each one of us, of the qualities mentioned in this passage, Tender mercies and kindness and humility express themselves in relationships. A large part of our Christian life is modeled simply on how we treat people and the quality of our relationship with them. Dave Guzik writes that we are told to live forgiving one another after the pattern of Jesus' forgiveness toward us. Understanding the way Jesus forgave us will always make us more generous with forgiveness and never less generous. When we consider the staggering debt Jesus forgave for us and the smallness of the debts others have toward us, it is ungrateful for us not to forgive them, as in the parable that Jesus spoke of on Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. That's the parable of the unmerciful servant. Peter had asked Jesus, "How many times do I need to forgive?" And he guessed 7. He thought that would be enough. Most people in the time of Jesus thought if that you forgave someone 3 times, that would be fine. The 4th time and then on, you do not need to forgive them anymore. Jesus' idea of forgiveness was 70 times 7. It would be difficult to keep track of that. If we choose to love everyone showing forgiveness and not keeping record of wrong, we would not need to waste the time tracking that. In the story, the king forgives a servant who owes him a lot of money. This servant felt very happy, but then when he was forgiven, he went back to his farm and he had a servant who owed him money. Even though it was just a small debt, the first servant would not forgive it. Even though the debtor begged, "Be patient with me, I will pay it all," he was put in jail. We are so blessed that our sins are forgiven by Jesus. They were forgiven when he died on the cross for us. Our hearts should overflow with gratefulness knowing this. When the king learned of this, the gentleman being thrown into jail, he spoke to the servant and called him wicked. "I canceled your debt. The debt of yours, because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" The end of this parable is a very harsh warning. The king sends the man to prison until he has paid his entire debt. And the final verse in Matthew 35 reads, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This parable makes a pretty direct point that our forgiveness of others is to be extravagant and without limits. Our emotions, minds, and hearts draw closer to God when we are able to forgive. God is able to inspire righteous living, which then leads to healthier relationships with family members and friends and coworkers. Forgiving others is not a way to earn a place in the kingdom of God. It is evidence that we have a place in the kingdom of God. Jesus has paid the price for your forgiveness. And when we think of how Christ forgave us, it should make us much more generous with forgiveness. Pastor Bill Foote encourages us to not walk without peace. He says, "We will miss fellowship with God." That's so true. We will miss fellowship with God if we are not able to forgive ourselves and others. And we will feel tormented by our own thoughts if we hold on to an unforgiving spirit. We need to know that we aren't necessarily forgiving for the offender's benefit, because most of them don't really care. This forgiveness is for us to guard our own heart. It takes God's power and your willingness to forgive. Be willing to step in faith and move forward toward forgiveness. Colossians 3:14-17 reads, "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Love is larger than all the virtues previously mentioned. It is larger than all of them combined. N.T. Wright states, "The other virtues pursued without love, become distorted and unbalanced. This unbalanced way of life without love hinders all relationships." A pastor once shared about this section of the verses, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." He says, "The rule of the peace of God means that peace should characterize the community of God's people, and that peace is a standard for discerning God's will. God holds back his anger a very long time when we sin against him. He bears with us a long time even when we sorely provoke him. God forgives, often knowing that we will sin again. Sometimes we will sin in the exact same way. And finally, God's forgiveness offers complete restoration and honor. Pray that God will help you to release every past mistake to him and walk in the freedom and peace he brings. When you ask for forgiveness but feel guilty, it is because you are still relying on your feelings. Jesus hears your prayers. He loves you. He loves each of you. And he wants to help you know that you are forgiven. Forgiving others as well as forgiving yourself leads to a sense of peace. As believers walking in God's word, we are blessed to praise him through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And that makes coming to church pretty awesome because we can share through the songs and through the hymns and be together. Praising God becomes spontaneous, especially when sharing with and learning from other believers. God delights in worship. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. May it never be said that this congregation forgiveness is just something that we just talk about but never rarely experience between people. May others see that the grace, the compassion, and the love of Jesus is alive and well here at our Wellspring Church. To forgive is to be like Jesus. I'd like to open up with prayer, but I'm going to say a few open-ended sentences wherein I'll give a few seconds for you to fill in silently what you are thinking. So let's go to prayer. Lord, I thank you for Lord, please forgive me for Lord, help me to be more Father God, allow us to handle our differences in the spirit Jesus commands us to. Allow your grace to flow in us and through us to everyone we meet. We, along with the Mosaic Conference, lift the Encounter for Renewal Mennonite Church in Florida to you. Their prayer request is to have continued faith and hope and trust in God as they care for their faith community. And they ask us to pray for continued ability to care for the immigrants in need of help and support in their community. We lift those who store unforgiveness in their minds and hearts. Please allow them to find peace. We lift those who are going to be having operations or tests this week. May your love comfort them and blanket them. May they know that we are praying for all of them. Lord, hear our prayer as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.